If you have your Bible tonight, be finding the book of John, chapter number 16. The book of John, chapter number 16. I want to speak a little bit tonight on what I was just talking about. I called it the four G's of the Holy Ghost. I looked down on my phone and it said four G's, so I said that's a pretty good title. You know, if your cell phone says it, it must be true. Some of y'all get that. Some of you won't. Some of you still got a 3G or an old flip phone. It may not say anything. I wish I didn't have one that said anything. The four G's of the Holy Ghost. You see, there's something in the Bible tonight that most people don't want to leave out. You see, there's a lot of churches with a lot of Son, talking about Jesus, and a lot of churches that have a lot of Spirit, talking about the Holy Ghost, and they tend to favor one or the other. But let me tell you tonight, in most things in the church life, you have to have a great balance. And I like a balanced church, where there's the Son, right? And there's the Spirit of God, which are equal. You see, I used to think, well, you had to put a rank on them, and God was number one, and Jesus was number two, and the Holy Spirit was number three. But it's not that way at all. You see, all three are equal, and all three are the same thing. So if you're talking about the Son, you're talking about the Father, you're also talking about the Spirit. And it's very important. See, there's some things I'm going to show you tonight in the Bible that if we would get a hold of as a church, will not only change your life, but it will change the church life. And not only change the church life, but it would change a nation. Not only change a nation, but change a world. You see, we're not just in this thing for the people that's here in this church. We're in this thing for a whole nation, for a whole world. You see, Jesus didn't die for a handful. My Bible said He died for all. And all could come, and all should come. And if you're not in tonight, it's your own fault. Because the Spirit of God deals with every man. And the Bible promises that. I was talking to Brother Larry out there on the front porch a couple of weeks ago. He said, the Holy Ghost has been dealing with me a long time before I got saved. And I can testify to the same thing. I'd heard enough preaching. I told y'all this story before. I'll tell it again. We used to have people come over to our house on, you know, all through the week. And it wasn't unusual to see 30 cars in our driveway when I was growing up. We had a pool table in an old barn, and we had an old wood heater. And all those boys from school would come over, and they'd want to shoot pool, and my brother would preach to them. He'd give them the gospel. He'd practice up on them. And they said if they can withstand all that, they might can shoot a game of pool. And God dealing with me the whole time, and I never would turn loose. And it took something, great tragedy to come in my life, and God said, you're lost. And I remember a man walking into Walmart one night, and he asked me this. He said, if you were to die right now, are you for sure you'd go to heaven? And the Spirit of God struck me like you would never believe. And I'd lay in bed at night, and the Spirit of God dealing with me about being saved. April 8, 1998, I called on His name, and He saved me in the front row of Faith Baptist Church, Roanoke, Alabama. Changed my life totally, but it was because of the Spirit of God convicting me of that. You see, the Spirit has a work to do in a church. He has a work not only to do in a church, but He has a work to do in each one of our lives. And each day of your life, He ought to be conforming you into Christ. The disciples here in John chapter number 16, they'd already been through John 14, where He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. He said, I'm going to prepare a mansion. Go away. And the disciples did not understand what He was talking about when He said He'd go away. They thought that Jesus would always be there. He was the Messiah. He was the everlasting life. So they thought Jesus would never die. They did not understand why Jesus would leave them alone and go away. But let me tell you, there was something that was greater going to happen, that if He would not have went away, we would not experience it today. You see, Abraham moved by faith, but he did not have the Spirit of God indwelling in his body. Noah, when he built the ark, God would come on him, the Lord would move on him, but he would not be indwelled the believer at that time, because Jesus had not yet been glorified or been risen up into heaven. And to see all these men moved by faith without the Spirit of God, how much more are we in the church that are saved have the Spirit of God indwelling our body? Why wouldn't we have more faith than they do? Those men did mighty works through faith with the Holy Ghost moving on them, but never in them. And I want to look at four G's of the Holy Ghost. You see, there's wisdom of the Spirit. There's always the Spirit is always wiser than we are. There's things He's arranging that we cannot arrange. And there's people that said, I would go back and change this stuff. Let me tell you what, I'm not messing with the sovereignty of God. Because I look back on my life and I said, I wish I'd have got saved earlier, but God did not arrange it that way. There's the wisdom of the Spirit. There's works of the Spirit. He's working in our church. If God could reveal the work that He's doing in this church, see, Liberty Baptist Church hadn't seen all what God has for us yet. And He's not done here yet. You see, there's a world out there, and there's a nation out there, and there's a city out there on the outside of this church that people can win other souls to Christ through the Spirit of God indwelling inside of you. You see, the Lord Jesus is able to meet every need of the sinner. Let me tell you this, the Holy Spirit is able to meet every need of the saint. You see, He's got everything that you ever needed, that He indwelled the believer, and He gave it to you. You see, He gave that to you. I was reading after one man, he said this, it's not so much of us possessing the Spirit, but how much of the Spirit is possessing you. And I began to think about that in my own life. You see, when I got saved, I've got 100% of the Spirit. He don't got me down there on Kmart giving me a layaway plan. And I'm not waiting around to see if He's got enough money to pay it off. But see, He paid it all at Calvary. He's done it all. He's done the work. And when you got saved and you believed on Christ and you got baptized into the body of Christ, guess what? He gave you all the Spirit that you're ever going to get. And it's up to you what you'll do with that Spirit from that point on. How much of Him, how much of you will you give Him to the Spirit and fall in the leadership of the Holy Ghost? Let's read a little bit and found in John chapter number 16. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. It says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yet the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." We're there tonight. You better believe we're there in that verse. I know way down here in Bowden, Georgia, there's people giving their life around this world because of that verse right there. And they think they're doing God a service, but they're in the lowest part of hell tonight because of what they're doing. You better believe it. "And these things that they will do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I have told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to Him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." Here it is, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I will depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will come show you things to come. He shall glorify me, He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." The four G's of the Holy Ghost. I want to say number one tonight, you have the gift of the Spirit. When you got saved, you inherited something. You got something from the Father that only Jesus said that you could have. And it was a gift. You ought to thank God tonight that you have the Holy Ghost indwelling your body. Because there's things that He's doing inside of you that only He can do. When you read that Bible, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, the world, we're too busy in the church trying to change somebody that's unsaved. Let me tell you what you ought to do. Let the Spirit of God change them. You see, there was a lot of people that thought they could change me. You say, was you way out there? I was the chief of sinners. I never smoked a cigarette. I wasn't hooked on alcohol, but I tell you what, the Holy Ghost had me the chief of sinners, I can tell you that. And the gift of God, and if you've ever been saved, you'll know what I'm talking about. He has a way of getting inside of you and telling you you're the chief. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. If he was the chief, I was coming in a good second place, and I was near the top. If you've ever been saved, he'll make you feel that way. But let me tell you, when I got saved, he gave me a gift. And that gift is inside of me. And I praise God tonight that I have it. Because there's no telling where I'd be if I did not have this gift that he gave it. He wrapped it up. He packaged it. And it was a done deal. When I said, Father, save me, he and 100% of the Spirit came into my body as a free gift. You see, you got a lot of things when you knelt at the foot of the cross and said, save me, Lord. You not only got Jesus, the Son, you also got the gift of the Spirit. And you got more than what you thought you did. You see, Jesus always gives you more than what you thought you had. And when you ain't got nothing and he gives you something, that'd be something to praise him for. See, when I came up that day, I didn't come up empty-handed. I came up with a free gift. Not only a pardon, but I came up with the Spirit of God within me. And I praise him tonight for that gift that he gave me. I want to say, first of all, you need to have an understanding of the Spirit. The Spirit has a work to do. We read in our text that he will reprove the world of sin. There's a lot of things that the Spirit is doing. You see, the Spirit of God is what's holding this thing together. You see, there's coming a day when God will remove his Spirit from this world. And there'll be mass chaos because then all the governments of the world will see what was actually holding this thing together. It was the children of God and the Spirit of God working inside of them, holding this thing together. There may be a remnant, but let me tell you what, as little as much when God is in it. And I thank Him tonight for the gift of the Spirit, the understanding of the Spirit. You see, look at, first of all, back in verse 7 in our text, He said this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." That word expedient is a very long word. But let me tell you what it means. It means to your advantage. You see, the disciples did not understand that they couldn't understand why Jesus would do all the miracles and see them in their sight, and now he's going to go away. It did not make sense to them. Let me put it this way. If we was walking with Jesus day by day, day in and day out, and we had seen him do everything, and he was the everlasting life, he was the bread of life, he was the well of water, we wouldn't want him to go away, would we? We would not push him away. We would not turn him away. We'd want him by our side each and every day. But let me tell you, he said it was to their advantage that he go away. Why? So he would give them the gift of the Spirit, that it would indwell the believer from that point on. Let me tell you what, you've got the gift inside of you if you're saved. If you don't, you can have the gift, the understanding of the Spirit. You see, Mary and Martha, I'll put it this way, Mary and Martha in John chapter number 11, they said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Let me tell you what, with the Spirit of God, he can be everywhere and any believer at any time. You say, well, you're like you're alone up there, but let me tell you what, I'm not. I have something inside of me that beats everything that I ever known. And he can be anywhere, any place, any time. He's better than the post office, Brother Tim. He don't care if it's snowing. He don't care if it's raining. He don't care if it's thunder. He don't care if it's lightning. He don't care if it's dark outside. He don't care if the sky's falling, the waves are crashing, and they're over your head. He's there all the time, every time. He'll meet your need according to the riches in glory. And I praise him for the gift. But you need to have an understanding of it. Not only an understanding, the Spirit also brings unification. You see, we have a common bond. You know, as brothers and sisters in Christ, in the family of God, there's something that brings us all together. Turn on your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Just hold your place here. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. You see, there's a thing that brings us all together as a church. Here, Paul was talking about spiritual gifts, but he was talking about them by the Spirit of Christ in which they had given them to him as a gift. He says this in verse number 1. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And he goes down through there. Look down at verse number 4. He says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities in operation, but it's the same God working all in all. But the manifest manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Let me tell you what the gift of the Spirit is. It's here to profit the church. Let me tell you what, if we was all here prophesying, we'd have one messed up church. If we was all teachers in this church, we'd have one messed up church. We'd all be trying to teach. But God gave different administrations of the Spirit. And you know what it's for? It's to profit. You see, some of you have the gift of edification. All of us don't have that gift. You may have a couple of dominant spiritual gifts in your life, but God has put it in here to bring us all together as one body and to unify the body, to lift up the body of Christ, to see a functioning body of Christ. Let me say this. God is looking for churches to be unified, serving Him. One body, one Spirit, one faith, one Lord, lifting Him up, draw sinners coming in, getting saved. That's what He's wanting us to do, to be a unified body. But He's only going to do it through the Spirit. Use your Spirit, what God has given you to do. But you can only be who you can be through unification. You'll see, look down in verse number 8. It says, "For to one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit." Verse 13, it says this, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether there be Jews or Gentiles, whether there be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Let me tell you what, this thing's made up of many members. You see, we're all under the leadership of Christ. And then we're all under the leadership of the pastor who's following Christ. And then we all fall into that thing under unification. And the Spirit gives us those things. And it's a gift that God has given you to minister in the body of Christ in this church to profit the whole body. To profit the whole body. And if we could all get in our place and know what God has planned for us to do, I tell you what I'd do. It'll operate right because God set it apart that way and He's made it that way. Not only do you see it's for unification, I want to say thirdly, it's for unction. Function. You see, this right here is very important to church. And if we could ever get this in our belt, and if I could get it in my belt, the unction of the Spirit. So God has chose men to preach the gospel and He's placed His hand on them and He's got that unction and He's gave them that power to do those things. And if we could all get under that and carry that burden each time this man of God preaches, each time this man of God preaches, and each time anybody stands in this old pulpit, that the unction of God would follow them. The anointing power of the Spirit of God. You see, that's what we need in our churches. You see, men today are planning on programs. And they've got everything planned out. I thank God that we don't have to have an outline to preach. Thank God for a man that can get up here and just rear back and preach. You see, I'd rather have a man that was under the leadership of the Holy Spirit preaching in the power of God than have somebody that had 17 doctrines and their pedigree to follow, and they didn't know, they knew the Bible from cover to cover, but they did not have the unction of God. You see, God knows what to say and He knows how to say it. And you don't have to have the most educated man up here speaking to get something from the Spirit of God. You see, God speaks to each individual as individuals. He speaks to the church, but let me tell you what He does. He speaks, when a guy preaches up here, he's preaching 1,000 different messages to different ears. And people are always hearing it. I've had people, I preach somewhere and they said, "You remember when you said this?" And I say, "I don't remember when I said it." But God Himself had said it. And if God says it, I'll just follow Him. I'd rather have a man under the leadership of the Holy Ghost than anything I know. I do have a Bible degree. And I did go to college, but I'd rather have the unction of Spirit of God on me than anything I know. And to feel His presence when you're preaching or teaching than anything I know. The unction. You say, "What do you mean?" I want to say He does it by revelation. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel finds himself in the valley of dead dry bones here. He does it by revelation, the unction of the Spirit. Look in verse number 1. It said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. And He set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones. And He caused me to pass them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?" It's a good question. And I answered and said, O Lord God, Thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And here's Ezekiel. He said, So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, shaking. And the bones came together, and bone to this bone. And then when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Let me say this. Preaching can only do so much. You'll find here in Ezekiel, he preached to those valley of dead, dry bones, and those bones came together, and they began to get some sinews, talking about tendons and ligaments, and they began to come join together. But let me tell you what it left them. It left them without the breath of God in them. And let me tell you what he did. Look down in verse number 9. He went back, and he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. This is what Ezekiel did. He said, so I prophesied, and he commanded me, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Let me tell you what that was. That was the Holy Ghost of God. Ezekiel saw this in a vision, and God revealed it to him in a vision. And he saw the army of Israel as a valley of dead, dry bones, talking about Israel, which was once dead, and now is coming back up, and they've become a state. And now there's Jews heading back to Israel right now. They don't even know why, but they're going back. You know why? Because God's going to call them out here one day. And it's become flourishing again, and it's rising back up. And God's got it as the apple of His eye upon Israel. And He gave it to Ezekiel, the vision of that, and he prophesied it. Let me say this. The Old Testament prophets, guess what? They had to be 100% right 100% of the time, or there wasn't a prophet. Right. Ezekiel saw this in a vision, but he preached to those bones. And I'm sure he had the best outline, and I'm sure he did the best he could, but there was no breath in him. Right. And you know what he told? He went back and he said, call for the wind. And that wind was the Spirit of God. And there's only things that the Spirit of God can put inside of you, and that's the wind of God. And that's what we need in our church, the wind of God to blow in here, to settle down here. The old-timers used to say, oh, Lord, breathe on us. And they're pulling it from that text right there where the Holy Ghost would breathe on a congregation, and those that were dead and dry would come back to life, and those who did not have the Spirit of God would be pulled back together, and the Spirit of God would raise up in them and bring them to life. By the Spirit of God, by the unction, by revelation. Not only by revelation, but I want to say by manifestation. How many of you remember what happened in Acts chapter number 2? The day of Pentecost. There was a manifestation of the Spirit of God. It was by unction from on high. You remember what he told the disciples that was there? He was ascending up into heaven. He said, go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued from power on high, from on high. And you know what those disciples did? They went out into an upper room, and they assembled themselves together. It was 120. They went up into an upper room. You say, did they pray down in heaven? I'm sure they did. You say, but what actually caused the day of Pentecost? Was it just 120 folks up in an upper room praying? Oh, no, it was the Son of God that had been glorified, and He had dispatched the Spirit, especially on that day. And it was by the manifestation of the Spirit that 3,000 souls was added to the church that day at Pentecost. Because of a manifestation of the Spirit. Not only by manifestation, I want to say by anticipation. You see, if you come to the house of God not expecting anything to happen, you've missed it. You see, I'm coming here expecting something to happen. I'm glad we don't have a program church. You know why? Because you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know if you're going to sing. You don't know if you're going to preach. You don't even know if you're going to teach. And I like it like that. I'd rather follow the Spirit of God than anything I know. I come here expecting something to happen. I wonder if you came here tonight expecting something to happen to you personally. There's families in here that are hurting. There's families here in need. And let me tell you what, He's here to minister individually, but He's here to minister to a church as well. By anticipation. There was a man by the name of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was just a man. He heard a man preach one time. He said, God's willing to use a man. D.L. Moody was not an educated man. Didn't have all the degrees. He said, well, I guess I fit the qualification. I'm a man. If you'll ever get that down in you, just say, God's just willing to use an old average man. Just willing to follow Him. D.L. Moody was up preaching, and he at that time in Chicago, and he had one of the largest Sunday school classes, and he had one of the largest congregations in Chicago. And there was two women that he met. And he asked them, he said, he had heard them pray. And they was praying for him. And he said, why would you pray for me? Pray for the unsaved. Pray for the lost. And they said, oh no, we'll pray for you. That you'd have an unction of the Spirit. And they began to pray for him. And he didn't really know what they meant. A man, D.L. Moody, won thousands of souls to Christ. And he had these two women by the name of Aunt Susie, Auntie Susie, and Mrs. Snow. They were two free will Methodist women that he had met down at the YMCA while he was preaching down there, and they began to pray for him. The great Chicago fire destroyed where his congregation was, destroyed his church. And he went up to New York City, down to Wall Street. And he began to walk down those streets. And then it hit him like a ton of bricks, what those two ladies said. And by then he was anticipating the unction of the Spirit, and God granted him that wish. And the same sermons that he was preaching, the same Sunday school lessons he was teaching, began to have the power of God and have the unction of God. And thousands came to Christ under the same message that he'd been preaching all those years because of the unction of Christ. You see, that's what we need in our churches. We need to fall under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Unction, anticipation. I want to say this, appreciation. So you see, the Holy Ghost only comes where He's welcome. I don't know if you knew that or not. He only comes where He's welcome. You know, when I go into somebody's house, I only stay where I'm welcome. And if He's going to come in this house, you know what? He's going to have to be welcomed in here, in each and every heart. Not only that, you have to acknowledge Him. He likes to be acknowledged. I'll go ahead and get ahead of this thing. He likes to be acknowledged because if you're glorifying the Spirit, guess what you're doing? You're glorifying the Son. If you're glorifying the Son, you're glorifying the Father. Thank God for the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's given us a gift. Don't let it forget about it. He's given you a gift, a very special gift. You have Christ Himself living inside of you through the Spirit of God. Not only the gift of the Spirit, I want to say the guiding of the Spirit. Turn back in your text into John chapter number 16. Look down in verse number 7 again. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send them to you. When He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. Let me say this. The guiding of the Spirit, He will always guide you into truth. The Holy Ghost will never lie to you. You can always trust Him. There's things that are happening that you may not understand, but let me tell you, you can always trust Him. I wrote some things down. He will always guide you into truth. He speaks nothing but the truth. And every experience that you have in the Holy Ghost, you know what it'll do? It'll line up with this. If somebody has an experience with the Holy Ghost and don't line up with this, they didn't have an experience with the Holy Ghost. It's just playing out. It'll always lead you into truth. Not only that, He inspires nothing but the truth. Let me tell you where you got this thing. By inspiration of God. He says this in 2 Peter chapter number 1. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in time old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake that they was moved by the Holy Ghost. You have this book in your hand because of what the God did. And He's given it to you as a guide. And it'll always guide you in the truth. It'll never let you down. Not only that, and I'm going to skip down because I want to get to the last thing. You can grieve the Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, the use of edifying, that it may minister the grace of the hearers. And here it is, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. You say, how can I grieve the Spirit? I can tell you this, there's more ways to grieve the Spirit than to have the Spirit. I could stand here all day and tell you the ways to grieve the Spirit. Not only does it, what does the word grieve mean? It's to make but sorrowful, to turn them away, to push back. And I'll tell you, we're all guilty of this right here, grieving the Spirit of God in our life. Not only that, you can quench the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. What does the word quench mean? It means to put out, to extinguish, as you would take a fire extinguisher and blow it on a flame and put it out. I've seen that happen in several churches that I've been in. I've seen it where people have grieved the Spirit of God, but I've seen them where they quench the Spirit of God. I remember one time Brother Ken was preaching at a church, and a lady stood up and said, "I saw a 9-foot Jesus right in the middle of the invitation." And you know what she did? She quenched the Spirit of God. She quenched him. He put him out just like that. And we could have packed it up and went home right there. I remember just like I was sitting there yesterday, and it just quenched the Spirit. There were sinners in there that was going to get saved. And I believe she'll give an account for that because she did not follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost to grieve the Spirit. But lastly, I want to get to this point right here. You'll see the goals of the Spirit. You see, there are some things that the Spirit wants for each and every one of us. You know what He wants first? He wants salvation. The first gift of the Spirit is for you to be saved. There may be somebody here tonight that's never been saved. You say, "Well, how is He going to save me through the Spirit?" Let me tell you what. When Jesus came to Nicodemus, He came to him by night. Nicodemus was a popular man. He was a ruler of the Pharisees. He was on the Sanhedrin court. But He said, "You must be born again." He said, "How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time?" Jesus said he must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, I believe Nicodemus got saved there that night. I believe you'll see him there. He fell off the pages of the Bible until you see him at the cross, and he's there getting up the body of Jesus. Nicodemus, you'll see him again, born of the Spirit. Salvation. You may be here tonight and you say, "I don't know what you're talking about." And you may be here putting it off. But Larry, I was talking to him. He said, "I put it off for so long." There was two men in the Bible Paul began to testify to. Found in Acts chapter number 24, he was testifying to a man named Felix. And he said, "When I have a more convenient season." And you know what? He fell off the pages of the Bible. And I believe he didn't get saved. Acts 26, he began to preach again. He began to give his testimony of how he was saved on the Damascus Road and how the great light shined out of heaven and called his name. And he fell to the ground and he said, "I got saved there that day." I believe he said it just like that to old Agrippa. And Agrippa said this, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And he fell off the pages of the Bible. Let me tell you what the first gift of the Spirit is, and it's salvation. You here tonight, you've never been saved, God's got a gift for you, and it's wrapped up and it's sealed, and it's at the foot of Calvary. And if you'll ever see the dying Lord on the cross of Calvary, where He died for your sin, and the blood come out of His side, and the water flowed out, let me tell you what, He's got the gift of the Spirit waiting for you tonight, and you can be saved. He's saying, "Come in. Come to me." Secondly, not only the gift of salvation, but He wants you to have the goal of being separated. You say, "What does it mean to be separated?" That's you coming out. He said this, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." That's bringing you out of the world. You see, there's so much world in each of us, and these are different steps and getting on up to where Jesus is. First thing, you've got to be saved. And secondly, you've got to be separated. You want to get close to Jesus, you better be separated or you won't get much of Him. You'll have all of Him, but you won't exercise the gift that's inside of you to get you up closer. Number three, you have to be sanctified. You say, "What does that mean?" There's a difference in separation and sanctification. You see, in separation, He's getting you out of the world. But in sanctification, He's getting the world out of you. He's taking what's inside of you and taking it out of you, and He's burning it up. The Bible said He's a consuming fire. And He ought to be burning things out of you each and every day that you live and taking it out of your life. Taking the world out of you. Each day that I live, I want more of the world out of me. I don't want to go back. I don't want to turn back. I want to stay separated, but I want to stay sanctified. I want to stay close to Him. Not only that, it'd be surrender. You waving the white flag and say, "Lord, I want what You want more than what I want." If you're going to get the goal of the Spirit is to get you sanctified, but also to get you to surrender. You to give up on what your things are. I remember in Wedowee, they got that roundabout, whatever they call it, but they got yield signs all around the courthouse. and nobody knows whose turn it is to go. Don't ask me, but if you ain't going, you might get run over because I'm on going through there. God wants you to yield to Him.
Yes, He does.
And it's up to you whether you yield to Him. Will you listen to Him? You see, He has a voice and He's speaking to you and He wants you to be surrendered. There was a young man at the age of 17. He began to write. And he began to fall in love with literature and art. And he went off to school and he began to be famous. And his fame spread abroad. And he began to be an art teacher. And he began to teach it all around the world, art and English literature. He struggled with it. He grew up a Methodist. And he struggled with everything, his church life. And he struggled with his secular life, his work life. And he began to think about it. And he got in a church service one day. And he said, "I give up." And he said this, "I surrender all." It was a man by the name of J.W. Van Deventer. And he began, if you look on page 354 and you read back hymnal, there's a song written in there and it says, "I surrender all." It was written by that young man. And he was telling about his account of how God made him to surrender. You see, it's amazing what God would tell somebody. These missionaries that are out on the foreign field have surrendered it all.
Yes, sir.
Everything that they knew, they turned it away and said, "I want what God wants more than what I want." And they left their family, they left their friends, they left their jobs, they left all their security, they left everything that they ever known to go to somebody that they did not know to win them to Christ. To win them to Christ because they surrendered all. I want to say this lastly. Well, give me 5 minutes and I'll be done. Not only surrender, He wants you to go into service. You see, the gospel always says go. I didn't know if you knew that. You say, "What age do I retire from this thing?" There ain't no retirement. There's only benefits of the retirement, and you'll get them one day if you follow this plan. You see, God's got goals for you, and it's up to you which point you stop at. You can stop at salvation and never become separated. You can become separated and never be sanctified. You can be sanctified and never surrender. You can always surrender and never get to the service part. Let me tell you what it says in Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 18. It says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." You see, that's the commandment. You see, if you want to be Spirit-filled, you're going to have to do the rest of them. You see, this thing don't happen overnight. And it's up to you how far you'll go. I learned that a long time ago. How far do I want to go with Christ? As far as I want to go. Not as far as somebody else, but as far as I want to go. You see, it's an individual thing. And God commands it to individuals that you be filled with the Spirit. But let me tell you what it does. It profits a church. It not only profits a church, it profits a nation. It profits a world. You see, this is a worldwide thing. And you being filled with the Holy Ghost, you say, "I don't know why I'd be filled." Would there be any Susies in here? Would there be any Miss Snows in here that would get under the burden of praying for a pastor? Praying for assistant pastor for the unction of the Spirit every time they preach. Those two ladies, they may not have much of a name, and probably if you went around us, they probably would not know, many people know who Auntie Susie was and Miss Snow. I've never met them myself. Just read about them. And many people, and when you read the books on D.L. Moody, they don't even know their names. Let me tell you who knows their names. There's a God in heaven that knows their names. And there'll be preachers that'll line up and say, "I'll be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And they'll have to take a back seat to Auntie Susie. They'll have to take a back seat to Miss Snow. These people that prayed for their pastors and was willing to go the extra mile. You say, "What can I do in a church?" You can pray. Pray for the unction of the Spirit. Every time we meet, anticipate that the Spirit of God would do something. You see, there's goals of the Spirit. You see, why do I need to be Spirit-filled? You see, you got baptized in these things, but let me tell you what, there's many fillings of the Spirit. You say, "Why do I need to be filled?" Because we leak. I remember one time we was pumping up a basketball, and we lived out in the country, and we played on an old dirt court, and it used to be grass, and we'd played so much that it was just red, and it was like you was playing on concrete, and we was happy that we wore the grass out. We left our basketballs outside. I remember one time grabbing those basketballs up, and we began to pump on them and pump on, and it never would get filled with air. You know why? It was weak in the seams. Let me tell you what I am. I'm weak in the seams. You see, I need to be filled with the Spirit of Christ, but not just today. but tomorrow. And then the next day, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but every day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, be filled with the Spirit of Christ, because there's people watching us and they're expecting something different out of us than they are the world. They're expecting you to be Spirit-filled. And when you get Spirit-filled, you know what you'll do? You'll point them to Christ. You see, the Spirit will only testify of the Father. You see, He'll always lead you into truth. He'll always glorify the Father. And you won't go wrong following Him. The four G's of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Spirit, the guiding of the Spirit. You can grieve the Spirit, but there's some goals of the Spirit. I wonder which step you're at. Would you go all the way to be Spirit-filled? Would you stop short after salvation? Would you stop short after separation? Would you stop after sanctification? Would you go on to surrendering? Would you go on to being in service for Him? Or would you go on to be service, Spirit-filled, to where you're there with Jesus and He says, come on over to where I'm at, that your joy may be full. Thank you for your attention tonight, Pastor.